Science and the Bible, right here on publicly supported KJazz.
Welcome to the first edition of Dinosaur Science and the Bible with your host, Dr. John Nay, retired religion professor, where we will explore all aspects of creation science and why you can believe in the Bible. Dr. John, what are we going to talk about this first time?
Well, this first time, we're going to talk about some real basic preliminary matters before we get into the actual creation account given in the book of Genesis. I want to talk a little bit about faith, fact, what makes a fact, how in fact do we know that a fact is in fact a fact, truth, is truth relative to what one perceives, or are there absolute truths, and how does one that is finite in knowledge determine an absolute truth? Also, I want to talk a little bit about proof and evidence. Now, prove it to me. Well, just exactly what is proof? What is evidence? Well, to begin with, perhaps someone has said to you, well, you go to church on Sunday, you're a person of faith, you're a religious person. Well, I propose initially that all human beings are people of faith. The Bible contains a philosophy of life. It tells us where we came from, why we're here, what is wrong, what is right, what is good, what is better, what is best, what happens when we die. If one embraces this philosophy of life and uses it as the foundation for making all moral discernments, the judgments of their life, if they use this philosophy, if you will, as a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, then by definition, this philosophy has become their religion. Might have someone says, well, I just believe eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, that's a philosophical statement. And if that person embraces that philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and they attempt to live their life in accordance with that philosophical view, then by definition, that philosophy has become their religion. Might have someone that says, well, I have no philosophy of life. Well, that's a philosophical statement. And if they attempt to live their life in that manner, that philosophy, by definition, has become their religion. So as I begin this initial session, I propose and I pray in a little time here to share with you and I pray convince you that all human beings are people of faith. And the foundation for that statement is human beings are not omniscient beings, omni, all, science, knowledge. We're not all-knowing. Therefore, whatever any human being believes about anything at the taproot level is a statement of faith. Well, let's launch into, if you will, the first term, faith. I've had people that have charged my use of the term creation science as an oxymoron. That is two terms that are in diametric opposition. Webster's defines that as a combination of contradictory words. Now, I'm retired from the Air Force, so I'll use the term military intelligence. Jumbo shrimp, icy hot, authentic replica, rolling stop, etc. And two terms that are diametrically opposed. And the argumentation is, well, the creation account, again, creation science, the creation account is based upon faith, but science, the sciences, are based upon fact. Therefore, the two terms are mutually exclusive. At least that is the charge. I would like to take that to task in the next few minutes, if I might. Well, relative to the creation account being based upon faith, I have no problem with that, because number one, the Bible says so. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, we read, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So, the creation account being based upon faith, well, yes, the Bible says it's based upon faith, because after all, we weren't there. Next point, why it's based upon faith. If we had been physically present at the creation account, we that believe in the creation account of the Bible, would it be based upon something other than faith had we been physically present? Think about that for a moment, if you would. We have a statement in our culture, idiomatic expression, seeing is believing. When I see it, I will believe it. We even have a show me state, Missouri, if you will. Show it to me, then I'll believe it. Well, let's take that to task for a moment. Some years back, I was traveling to a camp in Nebraska riding my motorcycle. I had come up over a hill and looked out into a sprawling valley, and 3-4 miles away on the right side of the road, the south side of the road, I saw a lake. Well, I decided, well, I need to take a break. I've been riding the bike all morning. It's getting around noon. So I got up there, and when I came up getting closer to the lake, there were trees, maybe hard to believe, Nebraska, but there were trees on the south side of the road, and I couldn't really see the lake, and I had come to a road that turned to go in toward the lake. Well, I turned on this dirt road toward the lake, and I went a short distance, and there in front of me was a poultry farm. 8 or 9 large corrugated metal buildings full of chickens, which I thought was kind of a foul thing to happen. And what had happened, it would appear, intended pun, what it would appear, is that back up the road when I'd come up over the knoll, I looked out into the valley, the sun was at just about the right angle shining down on the roofs of those corrugated metal buildings, those chicken coops, and shining my direction, and it appeared to be a lake. Well, at first, my perception that it was a lake did not make it to be a lake. Just because someone believes something to be true, that in and of itself doesn't make it to be true. Nor had there been 500 people with me and had seen the same thing. Numbers in and of itself doesn't make a truth to be a truth. A truth is either a truth or it's not a truth, has nothing to do with the number of people that believe it to be true. Nor necessarily what appears to be true. For example, the person that says, well, there is no God. Well, a person's statement that there is no God, does that make there not be God if there is God? Conversely, a person's statement, we as Christians, that there is God, does that make there be God if there is not God? And I propose what we believe about God has nothing to do with the reality of God. Either God exists or he doesn't exist. What we believe about it has nothing to do with it, nor the number of people that believe something to be true has to do with it. Maybe another short illustration, if I might. I think of a young fellow at the Bible College in Nebraska, where I taught for a number of years. And on Friday night, instead of hitting the books, he's out going down the main drag, if you will, as most all cities have. And he gets his car all polished up and everything, and he's heading down that main drag. And up there in front of him is a red sports car. And out of the window of this red sports car is this beautiful blonde hair, just kind of waving in the breeze. And he looks up ahead, and the light's green, and he looks at that red sports car and that blonde hair out that window, and he says, Lord, turn that light red. Well, the light turns red, sure enough, you know. He pulls up beside that red sports car, and he looks over to the right, and there's this beautiful blonde hair, and that head turns toward him, and there's this goatee. Now, his perception, of course, was incorrect. The point being, our physical perceptions can be fooled, not only our sense of sight, but all of the other senses also. So where I'm going with this is this. Had we been physically present at the creation account and seen it with our own eyes, if you will, at the taproot level, it's still based upon faith. I have here, David, what's termed movie rock. And I have a couple large chunks of this I carried for years. And in speaking about this, people walking by faith, I'll often pick this up while I'm talking about this to a group of people and begin to comment relative to granite and that there are radiometric halos capsulated. I'll go off on this little double talk. Then I'll take this thing and throw it at someone out in the audience. And I've had all kinds of reactions over the years that are pretty entertaining. Well, the bottom line is this is foam, and it's painted to look like a rock, which, of course, again, doesn't make it to be a rock. Well, a person responds, self-preservation, all kinds of contortions and funny things have happened over the years. But their perception, whether from a subconscious level or a conscious level, that there's a rock coming at me, the bottom line is the perception is wrong, you know. So seeing is believing our perception of what we're seeing is correct, but our physical perceptions can be fool. So, 2 points. The first one being that the creation account based upon faith, absolutely no problem with that. The Bible says so in Hebrews 11, verse 3. And had we been physically present at the taproot level, our belief of the creation account taking place around us is just exactly that. It is a belief. And encompassed within that truth is not relative to what a person perceives as being true. Truth is truth, regardless of the number of people that believe something to be true. Another quick example, I just think, I was Gunnison, Colorado some years back doing creation science at Christ and Youth, and I was there for 2 weeks. On the weekend, I stayed there, and I play tennis, and I'm playing tennis, so I went to the tennis court, and there were a couple of young men there that were attending some summer classes. And we got visiting, you know, what are you doing here? Well, I'm here speaking on creation science. Well, that's an oxymoron, so we went off into this discussion, you know. And one of these young men made a statement, my paraphrase of the pith or the meat of the statement, that that truth is relative to what you perceive it to be. Okay, and in this conversation, one young man's name was Sean, the other Rob. I can remember the names because two of my boys were named that. And I looked at this young man whose name was Rob, as he's telling this to me. And I said, Billy, it's really good to see you. I didn't recognize you at first. You've really grown, you know. You beefed up out here playing tennis and that, you know. And last year when I was here, we hit a little bit. We got talking a little bit. We went down here on the Gunnison River, did some fly fishing. And I showed you my flies, and you thought they were funny, but they were. Well, this kid's looking at me like I'm from another planet. And the statement to him for myself was, you know, if truth is relative to perception and relative to what I believe to be true, and I believe you're Billy. Well, like so many philosophical statements, when you take them to task in the real world, they just don't hold up. And that's one. Truth is truth. Truth is not relative to what we perceive to be true. Well, let's take the other side of this. Creation science, an oxymoron. Creation account based upon faith, no problem with that. But science, of course, anything put out by a scientific discipline, that's real-world fact. Now, so I'm not misunderstood. I love the sciences. As a matter of fact, I think the sciences just, they're a wonderful tool for giving a defense of the inspiration of the Bible, because there's so much in various scientific disciplines to support the truth of God's Word, that it is the inspired Word of God. But that is not the charge levied against people that use the term like myself. Again, science is real world dealing with facts. And we read statements all the time. Dr. Goldschmidt's statement back in the 50s, quote, evolution of the animal and plant world is considered by all of those entitled to judgment to be a fact for which no further proof is needed. Well, I kind of wonder what all those entitled to judgment, you know, just what that encompasses. I have a CD, Grolier's Electronic Encyclopedia, and relative to evolution makes this statement, quote, exactly how evolution occurs is still a matter of debate, but that it occurs is a, quote, scientific fact. So the argumentation being creation account based upon faith, science is dealing with real-world facts. Well, let's take that to task just for a moment, if we might. A few examples. There is a fish in the fossil record, the coelacanth fish. It's a key fossil. That is key in that it is transitional from one kind to another kind, macroevolution. And the coelacanth fish was supposedly transitional from fish to amphibian, and had to do with the pectoral fins and the angle and all that kind of stuff. Well, National Geographic magazine in June 1988 has an article on the coelacanth fish that it went extinct 60 million years ago. Well, extinct, of course, means no more. Eso es todo, nada más. Another National Geographic magazine, April 1990, makes a statement, the coelacanth fish went extinct 70 million years ago. Well, if you do a little check on the internet on the coelacanth fish, which if you like is C-O-E-L-A-C-A-N-T-H, you're going to find the coelacanth fish is not extinct. They've been sold in meat markets off the southeast coast of the African continent for many years, and there's quite an interesting story involved in how it was brought to the attention of the sciences. But the bottom line is, the statement that this fish is extinct, that didn't make it to be extinct. Now, just because someone believes something to be true, that in and of itself doesn't make it to be true. Another quick example, if I might, when it comes to dinosaurs. Time magazine, the front cover, this is April 26, 26, 1993, had on the cover, quote, "The truth about dinosaurs. Surprise. Just about everything you believe is wrong." Well, number one, I don't think they know what I believe. I really don't think they care what I believe, okay? But the question is, this is the truth about dinosaurs. Well, you know, why do you believe whatever it is you believe about dinosaurs? Might there be some that believe whatever they believe about dinosaurs relative to other articles in and perhaps on the cover of Time magazine? You know, so how do we go about determining what is or is not true? You know, you receive one story, if you will, on the Discovery Channel relative to life, where it came from and how it's evolved, if you will, and same thing with National Geographic and Animal Planet, and perhaps a little different story in God's Word. Well, staying with this, that the science is based upon fact. Many examples of things put out from various scientific disciplines as a fact of science, and then later, oh, we once believed this, now we believe this, a continual state of flux. Well, the challenge is whether something is coming from a Christian or something coming from a scientific discipline, we're talking about people. Now, we Christians are people that do not know everything about everything, even when we're 17 there for a little while. I kind of feel that way, all right? And the same thing is true from the scientific disciplines. We're talking about people that do not know everything about everything. Now, let me illustrate that, if I might. If I would ask the question, those of you listening that are professing Christians, do you believe that God is omniscient, omni-all science knowledge, all-knowing? And I think I put my hand up, and I pray you do too, because God's Word reveals to us that He is an omniscient being, all-knowing. Now, I want to restate a different question, and this is a different question. This question is, how many of us here, professing Christians, know that God knows everything? Now, what do I mean by know? Words mean what they're used to mean in the context in which they're used. In this context, by know, I'm not talking about an expression of a level of belief, but I'm talking about analytical cognitive assessment, you know, that we know that God knows everything, not as a statement of belief. Well, I can't raise my hand on that God knows everything, because I don't know everything, you know? So if I don't know everything about everything, one thing that I might not know among many things that I do not know is that God does not know everything. It's a statement of belief. Now, that sounded like double talk, but let's say that again, okay? For me to know as an absolute, not as an expression of my level of belief that God knows everything, I would need to know everything. Because one thing that I might not know among the myriad of things that I do not know is that God does not know everything. So it is a statement of belief. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he says, "Walk by faith, not by sight." And I propose to you that all human beings walk by faith, simply because we are human beings. The question is, where do we place our faith? Now, if you go in a restaurant, you order, let's say, a Big Mac, and we ask the question, what kind of meat are you getting? Well, I'm getting beef. Well, the question is, how do you know? I mean, how do you know as an absolute you're not receiving 99.2% beef and the remainder to 100% mouse meat? After all, that's what that big M is. Anyway, so the bottom line is we all walk by faith. When you put you know, 10 gallons worth of gasoline in your car, how do you get, you receive 10 gallons? Well, you look at the dial on the tank. Well, how do you know the dial on the tank is functioning properly? You might even check the side of the tank inspected by the U.S. Department of Weights and Measures. And you see, well, it's within that date, yeah. Well, the man that tested that particular pump, when he tested it, perhaps his equipment was working properly at that time, okay, or maybe it wasn't. Or perhaps the pump has malfunctioned since. 10% ethanol. Well, how do you not know but what? It's 11% ethanol. See, we literally, every day, all walk by faith. The question is, where do we place our faith? And our prayer is that you placed your faith in the inspired Word of God. because it is not in a continual state of flux, because it's from an omniscient, all-knowing being. Just a quick example. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, that it's He, God, that sits enthroned above the, NIV translates it, circle of the earth. The Hebrew there is the Hebrew word kug, which literally is sphere, and the earth is a sphere. Well, Isaiah 40, verse 22, tremendous support from outside of the Bible for the dates that I'm going to give with you now, written sometime between 740 and 690 B.C. 740 and 690 B.C. Well, how did Isaiah know the earth was spherical? You know, and here we as man, 1492, Columbus sailed into the ocean blue, and we find out, hey, you know, Bible's right on that. Hello, Bible's right on everything. So when it comes to this thing of faith, all human beings walk by faith. Why? Because human beings do not know everything about everything. When we talk about something being a fact, a person's belief that something is a fact in and of itself doesn't make a non-fact to be a fact. And it doesn't matter how many people a person would bring to say the same thing, this is a fact, that in and of itself doesn't make something to be a fact. Truth is not relative to perception by an individual or a large number of individuals. Truth is simply truth. I'd like to share with you for a few minutes on the term proof or evidence. You know, the statement we referred to earlier, when I see it, I will believe it. Well, for some people, they put enough faith in their perceptions that perhaps they would stand on that. You know, show it to me. And then when they said, yep, yeah, now I believe it's true. Okay. Well, I pray we've gone a little bit deeper. Just to give some thought to that. It is still a statement of faith. And when it comes to proof, I propose that proof is relative. Now, the truth is not relative, that there are absolutes, and those absolutes might be absolutes through definition, where we can deal in absolutes. For example, all bachelors are not married. Well, that's an absolute. It's an absolute by definition. Okay. How might we deal in absolutes, the absolutes of God? Okay. Well, the absolutes of God, He has given us a reasonable faith that we can take to task, whether it be from the scientific disciplines or anything else the Bible refers to, okay? And there's so much there, it's far beyond a reasonable doubt. So that man, although finite in knowledge, can deal in absolutes. We'll be addressing this later in one of our other sessions when we actually get into the creation account. So back to the proof. For we as Christians, depending on your level of maturity in Christ and in God's Word, you know, God said it, we believe it, that settles it for me or for us. But we're called to give an account for the hope that we have in Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. We're called to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, who accurately handle the word of truth. So for those that will not accept the Bible simply because it is the Bible, and I was definitely one of those before I became a Christian, I needed proof, if you will, from somewhere outside of the Bible that the Bible was in fact credible. And in my case, it was a process. It took time, and eventually, thanks to the conviction of a young man that witnessed to me, eventually I came to the point where the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it for me. But that took time. Now, the thing of proof being relative to one's faith, I propose that proof is relative to where one has placed their faith. Let me give you an example. I have an article given to me years ago, and the article reads like this, the title of the article, Noah's Ark was really a submarine designed by space aliens, say Bible experts. Well, you know, I read this, and if you get a chuckle, I chuck a little bit too, okay? But are there people that would read the of Noah and the Ark in the Bible and chuckle at it? And if you have not met those people in this, you know, shared design, well, then dead he answered Jai's logical question to follow. And I said, well, for me as a Christian, I've placed my faith in God's Word as the inspired Word of God, which in and of itself doesn't make it to be the inspired Word of God if it's not. Conversely, again, a person's belief that the Bible is not the inspired word of God doesn't make it not to be, if in fact it is. But anyway, and I said there's a scripture in Hebrews 9, verse 27 that I believe that is true, that it is true, and that is that it's appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. Therefore, I choose not to believe in reincarnation. Well, logical question from me would be, well, do you believe in reincarnation? And he said, well, yes, I do. And I asked him a similar question, what he'd asked me. Well, why do you believe in reincarnation? And he left the room, and he came back in a short time, and I don't mean this in a belittling way, but just for illustration purposes. And he brought two articles to me from National Enquirer relative to reincarnation. Based upon his faith and the credibility of these two articles and to some extent the entire publication, this has proven to him that reincarnation is true. For me as a Christian, the Bible proves to me that reincarnation is not true. So proof is relative to where one has placed their faith. So when it comes to faith, I propose that we all walk by faith simply because we're human beings that don't know everything about everything. That a fact is a fact regardless of what a person believes about it. Same thing is true relative to truth. And when it comes to proof, that is relative to where one has placed their faith. And since we as human beings all walk by faith, it's extremely important that we take a real strong look at where we place our faith.
Right. We have just a little less than 2 minutes left in the program, Dr. John. Will we be talking about next week about how we can place our faith in the Bible and why?
Yes. As a matter of fact, David, we'll be doing that throughout all the sessions. Well, that's kind of you have hit the meat of what it's really all about, is strengthening our word and God's our faith in God's Bible.
Okay. Can you give us the contact information for your ministry, Dr. John?
Yes. My website is creationscience.net. And you are free to contact me through that site with your questions or comments. I solicit those from you. And I don't mind a phone number, 772-2097.
Okay. Creationscience.net, 772-2097?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And the name of the ministry?
The name of the ministry, Dinosaurs, Science, and the Bible.
Okay. And you do go out and lecture to churches and conventions and schools, correct?
Yes. I'll be gone October and a fair amount of November doing that, yes.
All right. Well, where will you be going?
I'll be going to Nebraska initially, Scotts Bluff and Gary, Nebraska, and going on from there to Michigan and to Kentucky. And we've got our children kind of worked in there too, David, so stop and see at least two of our boys in our travels.
Well, that's real good. Yeah, it's been a great having you on KJZA, this first edition of your show, and which you're calling Dinosaurs, Science, and the Bible. And it sounds like it's going to be just a great show with all kinds of interesting topics that we'll be exploring here on the show. And I want to invite you to tune back in at this time every Sunday to hear Dr. John Nay. Bye for now.